This is the word of the Lord found in Judges chapter 15. Starting reading with verses 9 through 13. Judges chapter 15, starting with verses 9 through 13. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, "Why are you come up against us?" And they answered, "To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us?" And he said unto them, "As they did unto me, so have I done unto them." And they said unto him, "We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines." And Samson said unto them, "Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves." And they spake unto him, saying, "No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee." And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. When you're reading through the scriptures, you'll find a lot of people that part of their lives point to the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, you can look in the life of Noah, of Abraham. You can look in the life of Moses. You can look in the life of David. You can look in the life of Peter and the life of Paul, and you can see some things that very much point to the Lord Jesus Christ, even though when you look at their lives, you'll see that not all of their lives point to it. They fall far short. Abraham had a baby with Hagar, and that's been a source of trouble. Moses got angry and struck the rock the second time and was not able to enter into the promised land. David committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband Uriah put to death. And as a result, there was great trouble and civil war in Israel, and David lost their son. You look in the life of Peter, and he denied the Lord three times while the Lord was being arrested. You look at Paul, and he persecuted the church. So you see that all of them are sinners in need of grace, and yet portions of their life do very much point to our Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham walked by faith and was the friend of God. If you look at Moses, he was called the servant of the Lord who led the children of Israel to freedom. If you look at David, you see the sweet singer of Israel, the shepherd who was a king and united the country in great peace and strength. If you look at Peter, he's the one that confessed by the teaching of the Father that Jesus Christ was the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you look at Paul, you'll find he's one that wrote nearly half the books of the New Testament. So what a mix they are. The only human being in the world that purely points to God, pleases God, never sins against God, always does righteousness before God, and who rules and reigns as the Son of God and as a human being is Jesus Christ himself. But we rejoice to look at the lives of many people in the Bible and see how they point to the Lord. And Samson is one of those. If you look in the life of Samson, did he ever make any mistakes? Well, yes, he did. As a matter of fact, he committed some sins. He really, as a Nazarite, under the vow of a Nazarite from birth, sometimes he didn't keep that very well, such as when he was blessed by the Lord to kill a lion that roared against him. Later on, he came and dug honey out of a dead carcass. Well, a Nazarite wasn't supposed to touch dead things. You find that he visited a harlot in the city of Gaza And in order to escape the Philistine forces that gathered around him, he had to pull the gates of the city off their hinges and walk away carrying the doors, the city gates. And then finally he betrayed the source of his great strength to a woman named Delilah, who plainly said, "Tell me your secret so that we may afflict you." And he did it anyway. So he was very much a fallible human, very much a sinner in need of grace. But we find some things in this account of his strength and of how he began to deliver Israel from the bondage under the Philistines, or the oppression of the Philistines. He gives us a picture of our Lord and the Holy Spirit, had the writer of Judges set it down. So it says, "Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi." So here come the Philistines with their forces into Israel in order to threaten them, and it looks bad. And the men of Judah said, "Why are you come up against us? So are you making an attack? Have we done something where we didn't pay our tribute? Or we didn't act like we were under your thumb? Is there something we've done wrong? Why are you marching like this? Why are you deploying forces?" And they answered, "To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us." Samson has been making trouble for us, and so we're coming up to capture him. And you better cooperate, was the unspoken message. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us?" And he said unto them, "As they did unto me, so have I done unto them." Well, the Philistines had mistreated Samson, and as a result, he had killed some of them, not enough to set the people of Israel free, but enough to get the Philistines real mad. So they're here and able to use their rule over that portion of Israel to have the men of Judah go up and not only talk to Samson, but to bind him and deliver him up. Can you imagine this? Being when you are loyal and you are trying, and the Spirit of the Lord has come upon you, and you've acted in great strength to do some mighty acts, can you imagine your own people delivering you up to the enemy? Did that ever happen anywhere else in the Bible? Yes. Jesus Christ was delivered up not only by his own people, but even by one of his own disciples. He was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, and Judas betrayed him to his enemies. If we look at it even larger, though, we'll find that his own people, the Israelites, the religious leaders, delivered him up to the Romans, who were their enemies, for execution. And if we look at even the larger lesson, we find that we, who have this great hope of being among the people of God, it was our sins that delivered up Jesus Christ to suffer in the darkness on the cross. So you want to talk about being delivered up by his own people. Jesus was betrayed by Judas, one of his own disciples. He was given up by the Jewish council there to the Romans for execution. But in the biggest picture of all, the Lord Jesus Christ was bound by our sins and his love for us in spite of our sins to go to the cross. So Samson here is delivered up, and it says, and they bound him with two. First he asks them, he says, are you going to kill me yourselves? And they said, "No, we're not, but we're going to bind you and deliver you up to the Philistines." Was our Lord Jesus Christ ever bound with bonds? And the answer is yes. Now, out of the four gospel accounts of his arrest, only one of them mentions this explicitly. But let me go read that. You'll find it in John chapter 18, when they come to the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you'll see at his arrest what happened. says in John chapter 18, let me start with verse 10, but I'm reading for verse 12. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. So if you want to know how the Lord was delivered, being led to the house of the high priest's father-in-law, he was bound by his own countrymen, by the Israelites at that time. And so they took him bound. And that's exactly where we find Samson. And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. Verse 14 and onward. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramath-Lehi. And so there it was called the lifting up of the jawbone, or the casting away of the jawbone. That's what Ramath-Lehi means, because he took up the jawbone of an ass and slew 1,000 Philistines. Well, our Lord was delivered, bound by his love for his people. He was bound by the group that arrested him in Gethsemane. And he was taken to the palace of the high priest, and then he was betrayed by them to the Romans. But what really bound our Lord Jesus Christ was his love for his people. He was bound to keep the covenant he had made with God the Father, who had chosen a people in him. He was bound to keep the covenant to redeem a people so their sins would be paid for and the Spirit of God would indwell their hearts. So he was bound by love, bound by promise, bound by his covenant with God. And he went through the trial before the high priest, and he went through the trial with Pontius Pilate, who pronounced him innocent but sent him to the cross anyway. And as the Philistines shouted upon Samson, yay, we've got him. He's bound. He's in our midst. We're going to take care of this troublemaker. Even so, the people spoke up as Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, and they mocked him. And they said, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross, and we will believe thee. They said, he saved others. Himself can he not save? And when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. They said, he calleth for Elias or Elijah. Let's wait and see if Elijah comes. And they gambled for his clothes at the foot of the cross, and they parted his garments among them. And so there, as the Philistines were shouting against Samson, the crowd around the Lord was calling out and mocking him, shaking their heads, and there thinking that it was a triumph for the forces of darkness. But oh, darkness fell upon the whole earth. And as the darkness fell upon the whole earth, the Lord Jesus Christ did some things that are beyond the sight or the comprehension of man. He paid for every sin of every one of his people in every age of time. We can go back as far as least as Abel, who by faith offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We can go back, we can come forward as far as today, when the Lord is still indwelling people. So we find that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for every one of our sins. He hath separated us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us, as written by David. So there in the darkness, as the Lord Jesus Christ hung and paid for that, he was paying for your sins, child of God. And when those sins were paid for, you know what he said. He said, "It is finished." The bondage of sin and death for God's children was complete. His bonds were broken. Just as the bonds came off of Samson's arms there, so the Lord Jesus Christ was no longer bound because the deed was done. The price was paid. The redemption was accomplished. All of that was done. And the Lord Jesus Christ commended his spirit into the hands of his Father. And so now, what does Satan have wherewith to accuse God's people to God? Nothing. A great victory was won because the Lord Jesus Christ took up this strange weapon, a death. It was a fresh death. He had just died, just as Samson picked up a new jawbone. That is a donkey that had recently died. He picks up this symbol of death, of recent death, and he goes flailing into the enemy, and he kills 1,000 Philistines. I don't know if that means exactly 1,000 or a full number. It may have been 2,000 for all I know, or 3,000. It was all the Philistines that were there in order to capture him. He slew them with the new jawbone of a donkey, of an ass. He killed them with such a strange weapon. And the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and used death in order to defeat your enemy, child of God. My great hope is he went to the cross and he used his death to defeat my enemy, therefore to defeat my sin. Because I'll tell you, the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. So we read that the Lord Jesus Christ, he took the strength of sin out of sin by fulfilling God's law. Fulfilling God's law, he ripped the strength out of our sins. And therefore, having done that, he pulled the sting of death out of death, because the sting of death is sin. And that's why the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath given us the victory." And that's what our Lord did. He fulfilled the law of God by being a righteous man that kept all the law of God, whether it was the moral law of God in the way he lived, where it was the ceremonial law of God in the way that he fulfilled all of the sacrificial signs and symbols, whether it was the priesthood where he was the high priest. He fulfilled all the law. And having fulfilled the law for his people, there was no more strength in sin. Were they sinners? Well, as far as the earth is concerned, yes. As far as the righteous judgment of God, no. It had been paid for, been washed away. And so therefore, there's no more sting in their death. Because he has given us, not offered us. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory. So Samson picks up this new jawbone of a donkey and kills all the enemies in the area. Now even the men of Judah that arrested him, they don't even need to be afraid of this Philistine army because it's gone. It's gone. He's eliminated that with this symbol of death. A newly dead donkey took his jawbone and destroyed this army. And he names the place the casting off of the jawbone, the lifting up of the jawbone. And I like that one even better, the lifting up, because the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about his crucifixion. And he said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Now, some people misunderstand that. They think because of that, it means that Jesus Christ is trying to draw the whole human race unto him. And if they will just let him, then he will get them to righteousness in heaven. But the Lord didn't say, "I will draw all men toward me." And it's their decision whether they get unto me or not. He didn't say, "I'll draw them in my direction." He didn't say, "I will appeal to them. I will." He said, "I will draw." It's the sense of drag. "I will draw all men unto me." When Jesus Christ gets through drawing, you're with him. It's just like he said in John chapter 6. No man can come unto me except the Father draw him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And I will in no wise, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So the Lord Jesus Christ there draws all of his people, not just toward him. He draws all of his people unto him, and therefore will lose none of them. So here's Samson, as a picture of the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now we also see in Samson a picture of ourselves. Let me keep reading from verse 18. "And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord." Well, our Lord Jesus Christ was athirst while he hung on the cross, wasn't he? But this is a thirst that occurs after his victory. So this is more a picture of a child of God in this world now. "And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore, he called the name thereof Enhakkore." That means the well of him that called. "He called the name thereof Enhakkore, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. So now Samson is there. The victory's won. Philistines are gone. And yet after this tremendous effort, he's thirsty. He's thirsty to the point of fainting here. And he calls on God. And he says, "You've given me great deliverance. Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die of thirst." And I think the child of God often ends up in this situation. Sometimes they realize there that they have a peace with God because Jesus Christ has died for them. And so therefore, they are already recipients of this great victory. Jesus Christ has won the war. They are victors because he's given them the victory. And there they are. But sometimes living this life, they come very close to fainting. It's very easy for a child of God to give up. It's very easy just to quit serving God. It's very easy to quit forgiving people that have hurt you. It's very easy to quit searching the scriptures. It's very easy to quit trying to do those things that you know please God. And the thing to do when you arrive at that point is call out to God saying, "Lord, I have this hope that you've given me this great victory, but Lord, am I going to faint? Don't let me faint." And the Lord God miraculously gives him this water. You think, well, what kind of water could that be? I mean, he took this new jawbone of a dead donkey. Now it's probably covered with the blood of Philistines too. And so it's kind of a gross dipper that he's got there. Here, a very symbol of death. You're talking about death of a donkey. You're talking about the blood of the Philistines. You're talking about all of that. What kind of water was this that God gave him? refreshing, reviving water, because he clave a hollow place in it. That means he made it where it would hold water. He made it so that it would be refreshing water. He made it that way and filled it up. And Samson was able to take that just like a pitcher and drink that refreshing, sustaining, reviving water right out of the jawbone. And brothers and sisters, to me, this is a wonderful picture of the gospel. Because what do you do when you go and you hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? You hear about something that is on its face is terrible. It was a cruel death on the cross. We're talking about death. We're talking about a bloody death. We're talking about a man that was forsaken of his disciples, betrayed of a disciple, betrayed of his people, mocked, naked, tormented, scourged, a crown of thorns. We're talking about dying alone in the darkness like that. Wow, that's like a jawbone of a donkey. It's just, we hear about death, and yet then we hear about the victory of that death. And when we hear about that, we hear about his death, his burial, and then we hear about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, as the proverb says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Now, here's some good news, and it comes from a very far country. This good news comes from heaven itself. That horrible death of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he was betrayed and forsaken and mocked and spat upon and smitten while he was blindfolded, and there he was scourged and a crown of thorns on his head, and then he was nailed to a cross and he hung there. All of that we hear about death, 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 death. But then we hear about this. It is finished. Victory. He used that death to bring about a victory. What did he do with that victory? He gave it to you, child of God. He gave it to you. And you know, when you're really able to hear that, when you're really able to hear that God was made to be a man, and that man was made to be sin for us, and that man made to be sin for us died of death that pleased and satisfied all of God's judgment, then you're hearing good news from a far country, because then you hear, and there was a historical proof of that death. He rose again the third day. And God takes that message of torment and death just like a dipper, and he hollows out a place where clean water can be poured. Good news. You hear about that resurrection. You hear that promise of the Lord, because I live, you shall live also. You can drink that good news from a far country just as it were cold waters to a thirsty soul. And you can know that no matter how rough things have been as you live in the earth, how many times you have sinned against God, how far short of your own expectations you've fallen, and that's far shorter than the righteousness of God, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but by grace, he's given you his righteousness. By grace, he's going to give you his glory. And God keeps all his promises. Pick up that message of the death of Jesus Christ and the victory that was won by it, and drink deeply of the good news of the gospel. And then you don't faint. You don't give up. You say, still pretty weary, still pretty tired. This is still a pretty messed up battlefield. But I've drunk deep of this water, and I think I can take another step or two to go home. And so we have a picture here of the one who's far mightier than Samson, who kept his vows without flaw, who judged Israel 20 years, and we read that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to judge the earth. But what good news, child of God, your judgment has already been completed. You have been judged in Jesus Christ. And because you have already been judged, then the Lord, by grace, says unto the children of God, his sheep, come, my beloved, into the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. There's a home waiting. There's a kingdom waiting. When you're about ready to give up, think about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and drink deeply of the truth that you've been given an imperishable victory in the Lord Jesus. May God bless you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus. Oh Lord, thank you that you who are without sin have died in our stead and done more than that, have suffered the judgment, the wrath of God in our place, that we might stand before God without sin, without iniquity, without transgression. Father, we beg that seeing that we've been forgiven of such great iniquity, that we would be those that forgive those that trespass against us. Dear Father, we pray that you would revive us. We need it so much. Lord, send us the gospel. Let it be as cold waters to a thirsty soul. Let the good news from a far country descend from heaven, O God. And help us not only to speak it and hear it, help us to live it, Lord. Live according to the good news, loving one another for Jesus Christ's sake, serving you faithfully, Lord. We thank you for your great goodness to us. We beg for your spirit, your wisdom. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in earth, even as it is done in heaven. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.